open to Romans 2. This is really just building on Homer's message. I already had these marked. I didn't know, have any idea what he was going to say. Now, he was approaching walking sin free primarily from Romans chapter 6. That you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. You were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. Don't you wish that form of doctrine had been delivered to you from the beginning? That you're free from sin? I wasn't delivered that form of doctrine when I got saved. That's not what I heard growing up in church. I heard, Gary, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Meaning, you're forgiven, but you're not really changed. Come on. You can't walk sin free. That is not the form of doctrine that was delivered to the early church. The early church, from the get-go, they were told, the Son has made you free. Having been made free from sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Amen? You got it? Now, let's look at, now, Nathan 101 is Romans 2. And, of course, Dave was, we're all plagiarizing Dave. You do know that, right? Okay. That's right. And Dave says he plagiarizes Paul, so it's okay. But anyway, Romans chapter 2, let's start here in verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, now, stop. For those of you that were here when I did the demonstration, the pagan that worshiped grass, you remember that? And it wasn't marijuana, it was just grass. He thought grass was God. It's weird. But he had never heard of Jesus, never, he didn't know anything about the Mosaic law, never been taught nothing. But one day he gets born again. And what would happen would be the same thing that happened to Homer. It happened to me when I got born again. There's preaching from the inside. It's not somebody from the outside telling you that pornography's got to go. Suddenly, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a preacher on the inside. And there's a law coming from within. And suddenly, you know that, just like he said, the pornography's got to go, cocaine's got to go, the booze has got to go, all of this stuff. Well, that's exactly what Paul is mentioning here. He says the Gentiles, maybe they were worshiping grass. They never were taught the law. They have not the law. But see, once they get born again, they do by nature. You get a new nature. The things contained in the law. These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. You want to walk righteous and holy? He said, I was a 3-hour Christian, 3 hours old. And I knew. I knew the pornography had to go. 3 hours old. I knew the bad, explicit music had to go. Other things. Which showed, it shows the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness. See, every time you try and violate that law. Now, I know I'm preaching Nathan 101, but we're going to look at something a little more here. Also bearing witness. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. And Nathan's been teaching eloquently along with others. That is how you walk sin-free. And you can do it really from the day you get born again. Now, I don't know anybody that hasn't stumbled along the way. We've all been learning along the way. I am the poster boy for God will walk through hell with you, with your faults, as long as you keep seeking him. But listen, there's more revelation knowledge coming in this day than, well, it's more clear anyway. If I would have known then as well as I know now, I would have quit smoking a lot quicker than I did. I didn't know that I had to go to war with my flesh. Speaking of war with the flesh, let's look at that. Now, that's Galatians 5. That's the other place I have marked. Now, I'm going to show you Romans 2 and Galatians 5. See, Paul wrote both of these, but how he approaches them is a little different. When he's writing to the Romans, even though they're Gentiles, he's primarily writing to a Jewish mindset. These are mostly Jews. He says, I write to those that know the law in Romans. The Galatians, come on, grass worshipers. What I mean is they didn't grow up knowing the law. They don't know anything about Moses. They're starting from below zero, okay? And this is a very familiar passage, starting in verse 16. This I say then. Now, everywhere you see capital S in here, most of you already know, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit here. The capitals are at the privilege of the translator, and that's what they thought it meant. Trust me, if your flesh ever gets into a war with God the Holy Ghost, that will be the shortest war. It's not talking about that at all. It's talking about that new nature, what we just read over there in Romans chapter 2, that new nature where God wrote his law in your heart and in your mind, that new nature on the inside of you, because your flesh did not get born again. It still wants what it wants. And it's of the earth, and it wants earthly things. So, little s, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in that new nature, exactly like Nathan teaches and Dave is taught, on and on. Listen to that conscience, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There it is. At first, I thought also that the desire would leave me for the smoking. For example, I could pick worse things. Let's stay with smoking. I thought the desire would just go. That doesn't sound very much like verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the new nature. See, the flesh wants what it wants. It wanted, at that, for me, it was nicotine right there. Let's talk about that aspect. I've been feeding that thing nicotine for 42 years. Are you kidding? My flesh wants it now. At first, when I started, my flesh resisted it. Coughing and wheezing and hacking, like, are you crazy? Why are you putting this smoke in me? But I managed to get it addicted. And now it wants it, and it wants it bad, and it don't care what I want. It doesn't care that it'll kill me. It wants it anyhow. See, same thing with any drug, alcohol, cocaine, anything. For the flesh, though, there's a war. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and little s, new nature. The new nature against the flesh. Now notice, these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, now he's talking little s here. We're talking about being led into righteousness, walking out. We're talking about not living in the Spirit, but walking in the Spirit. This is how you do it. If you be led of the new nature, you're not under the law. Now notice this. I'm going to show you something here that I didn't get for the longest time. I'm just going to read them without trying not to preach on them, which is hard for me. But now the works of the flesh. By the way, this is not an exhaustive list. This is a sampling. You can add a lot more things to this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, and I am going to speak on witchcraft because I love the King James, but that's just a terrible translation. The Greek word right there is pharmekia, pharmakia, and it's where we get our word pharmacy from. Now, it's not really talking about a pharmacy, though. Most commonly, that word is translated sorcery, and that's closer. It's where you use hallucinogenic, am I saying that right? Hallucinogenic. It's where you use flaky drugs that make you see stuff in your worship. Like the American Indians would use peyote to go on their spirit trips. You know what I mean by that? Find their spirit guide. Woo, it's a devil. Anyway. So drug abuse. If you want to put something in there, especially used in worship. But drug abuse, pharmakia. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. Well, there's common old alcohol, plain old alcohol, drunkenness. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. Alcohol still probably wrecks more families than about anything else. Drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, you're never going to be politically correct preaching the next part of this verse, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. In other words, am I going to have to keep telling you this? I think so for the church today. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Pausing on purpose. Does the Bible actually mean what it says? Okay, going on. Just want to make sure you're hearing this. Now notice, now he switches to the fruit. That was the, this is, those are all operations of the flesh. Pretty easy to discern. Now the fruit of the Spirit, this is still little s, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And this is the phrase now. For the longest time, I didn't know exactly why this was in here. Against such, there is no law. And I thought, I don't know, I just always read on past it, but there's always a little itching in me. Every time I'd read that, of course there's no law against love. I mean, I couldn't get why that was in there. Trust me, there's always a reason why everything's in there. You know why it's in there? Because there is a law against adultery. Oh, no, I've been set free. I'm not under the law. I've been set free from the law. Well, maybe the law of Moses. But you are sure not free from the law he wrote in your heart. If you look in there, you're going to find there's still a law against fornication. There's still a law against adultery, and you better not violate it. Now, he's long-suffering, slow to wrath, plenteous in mercy. But, boy, you don't want to test him too far. He is also the judge. He is also justice. And there is a line somewhere. It says right there, now those which do, now habitually do those things, you're violating the law of your life. That is the law of the new nature. This is how you walk by the Spirit. And the reason he says, you're free to love. You can love all you want to. There's no law, no limit. Have all the joy that you want. You can have all the peace that you want. There's no law against any of those things. That's what he put in you in the new nature. But listen, there is still a law against adultery. All those things. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. That's living any way you want to. There's still a law. Whoa. No. For years I thought, no, I've been set free from the law. I have, from the law of Moses. But I didn't fully understand. There's a new law. There's a law written in my heart the very day that I got born again. And what's really scary about this one, I have no excuse. I can't blame it on my pastor. He never told us fornication was wrong. You don't have to hear it from a pastor. You find it from the inside out. There's a new sheriff in town. There's a preacher from the inside. Just like Homer said, 3 hours old, 3 hour old Christian. Knows pornography's got to go. Isn't that right? Uncleanness. Isn't that uncleanness? 3 hours old, he says, call his wife in there. Say, honey, I'm never going to be with another woman again. Never going to hold another woman, just you. What's going on? The new nature. And there's a law against it. Now see, this is the walk of the Spirit, little s. It's in Romans 2. Really now I see it's exactly the same thing here. You have become a law unto yourself. You don't need any external preaching. It's fine. I always tell everyone, I say, if you go to a service and maybe the message that day is stealing is wrong. And if you turn to your neighbor and you go, stealing is wrong? Who knew? At the altar call, you need to go get saved. Because if you're born again, nobody had to tell you from the outside. You already know from the inside, stealing is wrong, see? Now, it's okay for a preacher to preach, especially in this generation, because it's really good I'm not the judge. It's really good God's going to be the judge of these guys. I did a message a year or two ago where I literally read some excerpts from some of the Radical Grace preachers from their own writings, where they say with their own writings that the teachings of Jesus Christ before the resurrection do not apply to the church today? Yeah. They say, no, no, that was just to the Jews. Only thing that matters is what he said after he was risen, which isn't very much. Okay, while I'm talking red letters, there's not a whole lot of them. So I'm getting nods. People have seen that. I fear for those guys' eternal soul. Now, hopefully, they'll be like in Corinthians, that their works will be burned up and they themselves will be saved. I hope that's the case. But a lot of people are going to wind up in hell because they're saying, no, no, grace covers fornication. You can just continue in fornication. You'll be okay. I heard one of them say recently, did you know most people are going to wind up in heaven? And I thought, I'm pretty sure Jesus said, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. No, most of them aren't going to wind up in heaven. I'm going to do a series. I don't know, you know, what year. But the title, I think, is going to be something like this. Will certain, or I won't say certain, will, quote, air quote, Christians wake up in hell? There's going to be a lot of them. They think they're Christians. But if you will not take the word, Jesus said, Many shall come in that day, saying unto me, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in thy name? Didn't we do many mighty works in thy name? And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In another place in the New Testament, it says, the Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, you young people, I don't know. Nathan keeps talking about his generation like fornication is just almost universally accepted, even amongst the Christians. Probably not here. I'm hoping not. But I do know people, really nice, sweet people. I've got one in mind right now, really sweet person. Living in fornication and has been for years, and she thinks she's okay. And if I love her, I got to tell her she's not. I have to. Otherwise, her blood will be on my hands. Isn't that what Jeremiah said? What the Lord said through Jeremiah? So, if you're involved in any of these things in the flesh here, if you're involved in it, listen, God's long-suffering and merciful. Again, I'm the poster boy. But boy, you need to get serious about it. And understand there will be a war in the flesh. There are probably going to be withdrawals. For that lady, that person that I'm thinking of to end that relationship will be hard financially, perhaps. It'll have a financial impact and some other things. Better that than hell. Better that than hell. I don't care. Hey, God will be with you. He will walk with you. Whatever it quotes cost you, trust me, he will make it up. Now, it may take a while. So that's one level. Now, that's walking in the Spirit, little s. And I want to quickly give you a couple of examples walking in the Spirit, big S. Okay? So go now to the book of Acts. We'll look at one that Nathan always mentions. It's a message he heard me do years ago. See, we often think, they said that to me, here we go again. I don't do that on purpose. I'm just trying to follow him. So give me a moment. So aren't you going to interpret? Yeah, through the message, I am. Tell you exactly what he said. There seems to be a controversy in the church at large. Well, am I supposed to do the word or am I supposed to follow the Spirit? And to some degree, I understand that because I gave some examples within the last week, one of the messages I did. When I first got saved, I thought, well, I want to follow Jesus. So my analytical mind came up with this plan and I was going to codify. I went through all the sayings of Jesus and I started codifying them. I'm going to make me instead of having a law of Moses, I'm going to have the law of Jesus. Okay. And I'm just going to do whatever he said, which is fine. It really is. Except sometimes, like, for example, You try and codify it like that? Trouble. Here's some of the things I found. At one time, he'd said, I'm going to send you into these cities, and I don't want you to take any money with you. Okay, let me make a note of that. Go into the city, take no money with you. You keep reading, and later on, he says, I want you to go into the city, and I want you to take money with you, and oh, by the way, buy a sword. What? That's not politically correct in church today. Buy a gun. Sword. No amens, you notice? Nothing. Quiet. Isn't that what he said? I'm saying, well, which is it? Do I take money or don't take money? Do I take a sword? Do I not take a sword? See, what you're going to find out is Jesus is alive. He's still the living Lord. You can't codify it like the law of Moses. So what it is, yet you read 1 John, and I don't have that message with me today. I would have let Homer come up here and just quote 1 John to you. I bet he could. I mean, he's a 1 John man. But over and over in 1 John, if you don't keep his commandments, you don't even know him. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. If you say you know him and yet you're not keeping his commandments, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. I mean, commandments, 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 commandments. You can go to John 15. If my words abide in you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But okay, commandments, commandments. But then right on the other hand, you'll get into things like this. Where did I tell you to go? Acts where? Nowhere yet? You found the book of Acts. Glory to God. Go to chapter 9. Because I want to look at somebody who's not in the fivefold. This is the one that Nathan, years ago, he heard this message. But I want to show you another one in a minute. It's because in verse 10, it says, there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Now, this guy is a certain disciple. He's just a disciple. You never hear his name mentioned as an apostle or prophet or anything. It's just this guy named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Now that's the language of the Holy Spirit. Don't get mixed up. That's the Holy Ghost, this time, bringing the message by vision. You remember what Dave said? Visions and dreams is part of the language of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, Lord, I am here. No, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Now, boy, this is the Holy Ghost bringing information. This is information that your new nature will never bring. Your new nature is a perfect guide when it comes to righteousness and holiness. When it comes to things like fornication and adultery and all that stuff we just read, the new nature. That's why Jesus could walk sin free for 30 years of his life before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. It is a perfect guide, and by the way, it's born fully mature when it comes to righteousness. You don't grow in that. You grow in other things, okay? Now, you can become experienced by reason of use, but that's listening to your conscience and obeying it. Anyway, so here, though, he says that this is statistical information because, see, the Holy Ghost is a whole other person. He is literally bringing you the lordship of Christ. Let me say it that way. Instead of the mind of Christ, he is bringing you the very mind of Christ, the lordship of Christ to you today. It's just as if Jesus was standing right next to you. Okay? And he says, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. That's pretty plain. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. God's working both into this deal. So Saul has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, I hope you've meditated this. Then Ananias answered. If you just go back one chapter, you're going to find out that Saul was breathing slaughters out against the church. He was having people arrested. He was there giving his approval when Stephen was martyred. And he was having people arrested and brought back for trial. Some of them put in prison. Some of them being killed. And you're just a disciple. He says, hey, I want you to go pray for this guy. First off, am I sure I'm hearing the Lord? I love this dialogue that happens here. I love the Bible because it's real. Then Ananias answered, And I have to do it like I think Ananias did it. Lord, you know, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Lord, are you aware that he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name? And I'm going to add here, and you want me to go there? Do you know who this is? But the Lord said, and you notice the Lord didn't rebuke him. The Lord just said back unto him, go thy way. What if we said, square your shoulders. I know what I'm doing. Go your way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, when I first saw that all those years ago, and I said, there is leadership like that available? There is leadership like that? Go to a certain street, inquire for the certain man, and it's somebody that, even if you know he's a thug and a killer, I can come to the place where I can know for sure God sent me there. Ananias went. Got to give it to Ananias. Now, if he's missed it, he's a dead man. Do you understand this? If he's going, oh, you got to hand it to him. Do you know who this is? You sure? Okay. Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him said, oh, I love this. Brother Saul. Where's he getting that information? From the Holy Ghost. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou came, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now see, there is leadership like that available. But now if my experience has been, I don't get that kind of leadership every single day. But you do know what I do have every single day? I do have commandments. Every single day. I did this example. If we had 100 people lined up here, and you walk by, and you're the minister, would you pray, Lord, which of these 100 do you want to save? Would that be kind of a silly question? How many of them does he want to save? He wants to save all of them. Okay, well, do we have a commandment for that? Preach, go and preach the gospel to every creature, right? Not just certain ones. So have a little issue with that thing about only sow on good ground. Jesus sowed on every ground. Trust me, the Pharisees was not what we would call good ground. He sowed on them anyway. Why? He loved them. He's trying to save them from hell. If you guys don't believe I am who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. Jesus is love with legs, but sometimes love will talk real straight with you. You whitewashed tombstone, you brood of vipers. You travel far and wide to make a disciple, and when you do, you make him twice the son of hell you are yourselves. Try that at the next big conference of preachers and see how well that flies. You know? You sow on every ground. See, the sower sows the word. I remember that friend of my dad's, his name, you don't hear this name anymore, it's kind of dated. His name was Ansel, A-N-S-E-L. And he was younger then than I am now, but I was about 18. Rebellious man, drunk, just, I was a mess. And I was working in the concrete, and he come by, just, you know, he was probably 55 years old at the time. He come by and he just pat me on it. I'm hot, sweaty. You ever done concrete work in Oklahoma? Come on. I mean, it's probably hung over at the time, you know, from the night before. I'm not good ground. Okay. At that moment. And he comes by, he's going to come talk to my dad. And he just kind of pat me on the shoulder. He said, now, Gary, remember, the best thing in life is serving Jesus. And he just walked on past me. And I thought, see, the only thing that I had in my mind about Jesus was them hard Baptist wooden pews and those boring messages that I thought were never going to end. Couldn't wait to get out of there. But you see, it wasn't the words. It was the life in the words. Because I couldn't deny that he knew what it meant. He had something I didn't have. There's best thing in life is serving Jesus. Then on the way back, he said something else to me. He says, went to church for 25 years and thought I was a Christian. And I finally got saved. And he walked on out. Those words dogged me. I couldn't get away from those words. He sowed that seed into that old hard ground that I couldn't get out. I'd keep thinking, I wonder what he means by that. I'd have been better off if I'd have called him and asked him, but I didn't. Had too much pride for that. But from age 18, roughly, that's about how old I didn't get saved till I was 33. But all those years, those words would float back up. What did he mean? I know it means something to him. I knew it was alive in him. Don't be afraid to sow on whatever ground. There's another commandment. Go ye into all the world and preach. See, we can do the commandments while we are being led by the Spirit. You may need to be whatever he said to you last, be doing that. Be doing that until he tells you something else. See, I like how Alan said it when he was running running the Bible college. And those students would come. And everything was wonderful until about 3 months went by. And at first they're all excited. God told me to come here. I'm excited to come to this Bible college. But after about 3 months and they pray enough to meet themselves, I'm not sure God sent me here. Listen, you do what he told you until he tells you something else. Anyway, can you see that precise leadership of the Holy Spirit? Let's look at another one. Back up into chapter 8. Now we're going to talk about Philip a little bit. Philip is just an amazing evangelist. He's called Philip the evangelist. And for context's sake, they had just killed Stephen. We'll pick it up in verse 1 and chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, they stayed. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, this is the chapter before where you get saved, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad, not the apostles, tells you the apostles didn't go. He's not talking about the apostles. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Did you get that? Is this the fivefold? It says the apostles stayed, didn't it? See, what would happen today, and I hate to say this, modern times, if we had real persecution in the church and we had to scatter, I don't know that it would scatter the gospel much. Because we're not talking to anybody about Jesus anyway. You know why that is? We've left our first love. Left our first love. That's another message. So then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now there's nothing, whether the Holy Ghost said anything to him about going to Samaria, I have no idea. He could just be obeying the commandment, or it may be because of the scattering. But anyway, he goes to Samaria and preaches Christ. I would just take it as commandment. Are we not told to preach the gospel to every creature? He has a great revival. There's signs and wonders. And then later the apostles come down, lay their hands on them. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, look at verse 26, though. Now, here it says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. I don't know yet if I've ever heard from the angel of the Lord. I do know I have the Holy Spirit. But I do want you to see this precise leadership, because the Holy Spirit can say it the same way. Now get this, saying, arise, go down toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Isn't that pretty plain? Pretty plain? And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopian, who had the charge of all her treasure and who had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Now this time, notice it says, then the Spirit, I love this, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You know the story. He winds up leading the guy to the Lord, and he gets baptized right there along the road somewhere. There's a little water there. We can't finish without talking about Trinity Airlines. Verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord. Now, wait, if you think the Holy Spirit isn't going to take control of your life. I talked earlier today about, you know, living where he tells you to live, going where he tells you to go. Well, he starts taking you where you're going to go. Look at this. When he would come up out of the water, he baptized the eunuch. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. That's another town several miles away. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, right now I'm rejoicing for the new nature that leads me in righteousness. Thank God for that. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I'll give you, yes, sir. I only got to share this with a few people. See, it depends on what. There's so many questions that you can't find in this book. I love the Word of God. Anybody that knows me knows I love the Word of God. But I can't get all of my answers from there. I can get righteousness from my new nature 100% of the time. But what specifically does he want me to be doing? I mean, I know I'm supposed to love people. Like, he wants me to love all those 100 people, save all those 100 people. Now I know he wants to heal all those 100 people, all of them. I know for sure he does. I didn't used to know that, but I know it now. But what does he want me doing? Well, Angie can tell you, in the old days, the first thing that we felt like he wanted us to do as a teacher was to make cassette tapes and send them free around the world. And we did that. And so it's expensive to do it, but we were doing it. I mean, sometimes our postage bill would be several thousand dollars a month. It's not cheap to send cassette tapes to the Philippines or anywhere else. But then one day in prayer, now this is my testimony, like you'll probably have your own. But one day the Holy Spirit began just having like a conversation with me. To me, it's like here I'm talking to the Lord, Lord Jesus. And here's the conversation. He says, when you run out, now Sue and I don't really drink soda pop, neither one of us do, but we keep it in the house for company. And so the Holy Spirit asked me, he says, now, what do you do when you run out of soda pop at home? I said, well, I go to the store and get some. He says, more detail. Well, first I asked Sue, what kind of soda pop do you want me to get? Usually she has coupons or a sale or something. She'll say, go get this and this and this. Now, we usually buy in bulk, okay? So I'll find out what she wants. I get in the car. I drive to the store. Get out of the car. Go in the store. Get a cart. Go around. Find the different kinds of soda pop. Put them in the cart. Go to the checkout stand. Pay for the soda pop. Take them in the cart out to the car. Put them in the trunk. Drive the car to the house. I know this sounds long. This is what I did. I said, I don't know why he wanted it. I figured he knew all this. Take them out of the trunk, put them in the right place in the garage. Then we have soda pop. He said, what do you do when you want a drink of water? I said, oh, well, I get, now, this was before the bottled water craze, okay? We didn't all have bottled water. I said, I go get a glass, and I go to the tap, and I fill it with water, and I drink it. He began talking back with me. Now, I'm not saying it was word for word like this, but this knowledge came to me. He says, right now, the way you're doing it with these cassette tapes, somebody in another land, they'll see that catalog you have and they go, oh, I want to take a drink of that. I want to hear that series. So they have to fill out a form and either mail it back to you or fill out the form online if they can. If they mail it, it might be a week or two before you get it. Then it goes processed in your office. It gets in the queue, then the tapes eventually get made, then they go into a bubble mailer, and a label is put on it. If there is postage, they go out right away, if there's money for postage. But if there's not, it may sit there a week or two or a month before it goes out. Then it may take a week, 2, 3 weeks, depending on where it's going, before it finally gets to them. From the time they wanted a drink from the teaching till the time they get to drink might be 2-3 months. And that's when I heard you've heard it. That's when I heard him say, what you teach in the morning. He says, I want them to be able to drink the teachings like water. What you teach in the morning, I want heard in Zimbabwe that night. At the time, I knew that had to be the internet. We barely had any kind of website at all. About the only thing there was a few written teachings and a catalog. That was about it. Didn't know MP3s. I wouldn't know an MP3 from a M4K or anything. And plus, he was saying doing it free. And I'll just tell you now, back in 1999, I believe is when that happened, I don't know anybody that was offering MP3s free. You had to, in those days, I mean, now it's pretty common, but in those days, you had to pay for everything, you know. And he was saying, do it all for free. Well, I didn't even know how to make an MP3, and I didn't know anybody that knew how to make an MP3. So here we go. He sent a webmaster that's still our webmaster today that's really knowledgeable, but she didn't know how to make MP3. So we're trying to learn all about waves. And now this is to you guys in this generation, come on. But nobody knew, and I didn't know anybody that knew. And so God did not, what I'm saying is God, he told me the direction and told me what he wanted. He did not tell me how to make MP3s. He left that up for me to research. I had to dig in there and find out. And then we started experimenting because, you know, higher quality, bigger size, but you got to pay for the storage. So we're trying to find that balance. So we kept going, 128 is good. Let's try 64. Well, that's okay. Then we try 32. Then we tried less than that. Nope, got to go back to 32. Or something. No, we all of this we had to do on our own. And I was so proud of myself that we finally knew how to make MP3s. We start posting them at the website. And I still remember Matthew, if you're listening, it was Matthew from New Zealand. He emails me and says, you do know those are useless unless you tag them. What the dickens? How's that? What is a tag? And now I got to learn something new. I mean, this went on and on and on. But we're at the way Angie's doing. There's my daughter Angie back there right now. Sunday morning, normally now, whatever I teach Sunday morning, normally, is not only the MP3, but the video YouTube is normally there for Zimbabwe that same day, same afternoon. It took a while to get there. Now that's the way he led me. That little discourse, soda pop, water, he got it across to me. He will get it across to you. But that comes from the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and nobody can tell you that. Yes, sir, I'll finish with this. It is good to be prophesied to. I'm just like in those early days, if Dave had a line for a hangnail, I got in it. You know, it didn't matter. I was hoping God would talk to me through Dave, okay? And he did. And I was like Alan, too. I was usually under such condemnation because I wasn't doing right. And I was expecting to get chewed out. And so as Dave's coming down the line, if I'm down here and here comes Dave, I'm repenting of everything. I shouldn't have watched that TV show. I'm sorry, Lord. I was ugly to the cat. I'm so sorry. Because I'm expecting to get chewed out. And then when the Lord starts speaking through Dave, you're my favorite. You know what I mean by that? I'm so proud of you. I have great plans for you. You're doing good. Doesn't sound like a parent to you. Good prayer. He was having mercy on me and growing me up. But listen, I'm telling you, your real calling, whatever it is God called you to do, it's fine to have prophecy as confirmation. But I'll tell you now, and anyone that's walked this path, I believe will agree, the war that will come against you when you hear God and start to obey him is too strong for you to be standing on a prophecy through somebody else. You need to hear that for yourself. Now, it's fine for confirmation to come, and it will come. God will give you good witnesses. But that alone is not enough. You need to spend time with the Holy Ghost yourself till you hear what it is he wants you to do. We have three sources of leadership, as I understand it. First, we have the commandments. Just to love people. Do good to those that despitefully use you. You don't need, one preacher said it this way, you don't need a phone call from God on that when he's already sent you a letter. You understand? Should I forgive them? I'm waiting to hear from you. Now, you've already got a letter. You better forgive from the heart every person. You don't need a phone call. You don't need to hear from heaven on that one. You understand me? All right? But there's other things that when it comes to your daily walk and walking in righteousness, he already wrote that law in your heart. He already wrote it. There's a law against fornication. Don't do it. Your conscience will smite you. You know? And if you're already guilty, go to 1 John 1:9. Repent. Really repent. Repent doesn't mean I'm sorry and going to keep doing it. Although everybody has done that, let's be real. Okay? Most people have done that hundreds of times. And he'll still take you. But the day comes when you repent. Repent means you ain't doing it no more. Okay? But when he forgives you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and I heard this from Nathan first, and I checked it out, it's true. Instantly he'll restore your conscience. You may have had it seared up until that point. But when he forgives you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness, he looks on the heart and he sees real repentance. That conscience will be right back like it was before. It sure will. He's given you another chance to walk upright. And then the third, so you've got the word, the commandments. You've got the new nature when it comes to righteousness. And then you've got the Holy Spirit for precise leadership. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. When we know not what to pray as we ought, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He knows the plan of God. He'll pray the plan of God. How did Dave say it? How simple did God have to make it for us? They don't know the plan. Okay. If they'll let me, I'll pray the plan for them. Oh, and by the way, then I'll turn around. I'll step right on the other side, and I'll be the one that answers the prayer. You talk about a foolproof plan. How does Nathan? It's the perfect plan. The perfect prayer that brings the perfect plan every single time. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah.